This is the message from Connection Community Church for Easter Sunday, April 5th, 2026. Crossroads, the way of Jesus, resurrection of the King.
He is risen. Yeah. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. This is my favorite day of the year. I like this day even more than Christmas. I know you're not supposed to say that, but I like this even more than Christmas. I love Resurrection Sunday. Even when I get a cold Holy Week and I have half a voice, I still love this day. The second service, I was starting to lose my voice in the middle of the message, and because I was singing too much, honestly. I should have stopped singing, should have saved it. And somebody brought me this drink from Starbucks called a medicine ball. Do you know this exists? I didn't even know what this is. It's a lot of weird flavors, but I think it's helping. I'm just going to keep sipping it. So we'll be good. We'll be good. All right. Let's start with prayer. We'll get into the story. Oh, Lord, would you come do what you do? Come and heal. Come and speak. Come and restore. Your servants are listening. Let your living word fill us, encourage us, strengthen us. God, bring salvation and redemption into this room in the name of Jesus so we can bring it out into the world. We just love you and we just celebrate today, God. Thank you for giving us a reason to sing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So in all four Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get kind of a different director's cut of the resurrection account. You know what I'm talking about? You'll get some different details and perspectives highlighted. It's all the same message and story, but each one kind of has its own unique highlights, different things brought out of that. But they all start in the same place. All the resurrection stories of the gospel start in the same place. You know, they begin in darkness. It always starts in darkness. Easter Sunday, Easter services, it always starts in darkness. Yeah, because that's what they were living in. They didn't know what was about to happen. Remember what had just happened the last few days before that, what they were coming to? You see, Matthew 28:1, it opens up like this. Here's what's happening. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Yeah, that's where it started, the tomb. And in many ways, this is like a normal day on planet Earth. Sometimes things break, and we wonder if it's ever going to be the same. Jesus' followers, they woke up to the second day after the worst day of their lives. And they woke up with, you can be sure, all the grief of watching someone they loved die a violent, public, unjust death. It's horrific. It's traumatizing. And they weren't going to a sunrise service. They were going to tend his broken body for burial. That's the setting of Easter Sunday. Something is broken beyond repair, or so they think. And that's the world that the resurrection comes into. It actually got me thinking this week of a very different story. I was thinking about this. This happened about 1,400 years after the time of Jesus, all right? And there was a, follow me here, there was a Japanese shogun named Ashikaga Yoshimasa. You don't have to repeat that. He was having a very bad day because he broke his favorite teapot. True story. He broke his favorite teapot. The story goes, this military leader had a beautiful teapot that he used every day to drink his tea. It was the perfect ceramic vessel. It was one of his most treasured possessions. And sadly, it seems like his samurai reflexes were kind of fading because on this particular day, he dropped it. And his treasure, you know, shattered into 100 pieces, all right? He tried to get it repaired, but it came back looking like Frankenstein. All these rough edges and seams and like metal staples holding it together. But he was committed, and he determined, like, whatever it was going to take, he was going to make this thing beautiful again. And this is where it gets interesting, because what started with a treasure getting broken beyond repair ended up leading to a whole new form of art that brought beauty out of brokenness. Now, I'm going to hold you in suspense. We're going to wait till the end to show you what it looked like. We'll come back to this story. But just think about that. For now, let's go back to the much more serious story of brokenness on Easter Sunday. I'll take another sip of tea. Whatever this is. I don't know. So, Easter starts with Mary and the disciples in darkness. And if you've known grief and loss, you know a little bit of how they felt that morning, that darkness. And this side of heaven, resurrection, this side of the resurrection is where all of us live, in that darkness before the dawn and before we meet Jesus. You know, we were made for another world where joy and life never end, but we ended up in this world where sin and death reign. In this world where the Son of God entered in to serve and love and heal, and yet we killed him. We're in this world. And no matter how good it starts out for us, sooner or later, something breaks. Sooner or later, we all end up at some kind of tomb. A loved one lost or a dream shattered. We can very much relate to how they were feeling at this point of Easter morning. We can get that. I don't think we can imagine what they felt next. Like, what could have possibly prepared them for what was going to happen, right? Look at how Matthew continues. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. It's a good image. Angel just sitting there dangling his feet like, hey guys, you know, wow. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him. These Roman guards, these tough guys, they shook and became like dead men. Then the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. Just as he said, he told you so. Come and see the place where he lay. He's not there anymore. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now, this is a funny way to end a message. Now I have told you. The end. Go on. So you can say that when you tell your kids to do something or you hang up the phone, like, now I have told you. Goodbye. Just take that with you. So the women hurried away from the tomb. They're running now. You know, they weren't running to the tomb, but now they're hurrying away. Now they've got something. Afraid, yet filled with joy. And ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, gets even better. Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. You know, shalom. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. There it is again. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Not in this tomb. Nope. They'll see me there. The word of God. Thank you, Rebecca and Elliot. Man, thank you. It doesn't taste good, but it works. So, I mean, this is a huge turnaround. They came in darkness, right, to a tomb, expecting to tend a corpse. That was the expectation. That was on the agenda for the day. Instead, they found an earthquake and a blinding light and a message that would completely change their lives and change the world. They woke up expecting to relive the trauma they'd seen on Friday. Like, they had to face that. Instead, they found that they were living in the day that would forever divide history into before and after. They woke up ready for a funeral, and they found out it was Resurrection Day. Wow. Like, how could you describe what they felt? Don't you think their hearts were exploding? I think verse 8 says it well. They hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. What a mixture of emotions. Remember the last time you felt like fear and joy at the same time, that's a pretty powerful event. So I'm going to nerd out for a little bit and talk about J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Lord of the Rings. Any fans in the house? Please? Thank you. All right, so J.R.R. Tolkien, he once reflected on stories, and he was thinking about the gospel and fairy tales and even the message that he tried to weave into his own stories, Lord of the Rings. And this amazing thing that happens in stories that move us. He actually invented a whole new word because he liked words. He did that kind of thing. And he made this word called eucatastrophe. He had this phrase for this kind of story that does this kind of thing. A eucatastrophe happens in fairy tales and the great stories we love, and it is the gospel. It is a sudden, miraculous turn of events in a story that saves the protagonist from an otherwise disastrous outcome. A swift, joyful pivot from despair to triumph, producing a profound joy that can bring tears. You know how that is when you're reading that book or watching that movie and you're like, oh, it's just so beautiful. You know? You can't picture me doing that, can you? All right. Offering a glimpse of ultimate truth. It does not negate the preceding sorrow, but justifies it, making the victory meaningful. Eucatastrophe, literally a good catastrophe. It's like a positive turn of events that is so unexpected and absolute that it's catastrophically good. Does that not describe the resurrection? Right? Something deep in every heart longs for stories like this. It's why we still blow money on movies and streaming and even like sports. Like, we want the story of triumph and redemption. We want that to be true. It's what we were made for. We want to know that our destiny is not just to rot in the grave. We want to know that we're not just trapped in a tragedy. That our fleeting glimpses of beauty in this life aren't just treasures that break and fade away. We want to know there's something more to all of this. That hope is more than a figment of our imagination or a bedtime story to help us fall asleep. We want to know that. And the resurrection of Jesus gives us living proof that we're not living in a meaningless story or just a tragedy that's destined to just like fizzle out and die. The resurrection of Jesus is the living proof that no, this is not that kind of story. This is a eucatastrophe. This, things might look bad, they might get broken, it might be hard, but this story is going to have a happy ending. Sin does not have the final say. Death does not have the final word because he's not here. He is risen. Are we awake this morning? Are we alive to that? You feel that stirring within you? You want that? Jesus, the Son of God, became one of us. He died as the perfect sacrifice to save us from sin. He rose from the grave to save us from death. And because he lives, we too can live. All we have to do is trust him. All we have to do is trust him. You can't earn that sacrifice. You can't pay that bill. He did. You just have to trust him. And because he lives, because he was broken for us, he can take all our broken pieces and make us new into something even more beautiful. So how about we go back to that shogun from 1400 years ago who broke his favorite teapot? Sad day. Anybody break their parents' favorite like plate or something? I know I've broken some things. Like, oh, yep, yeah. Mm-hmm. He dropped it himself. Couldn't blame his kids for it. And he discovered this whole thing. He hired his artisans to create a whole new style of ceramic art that became renowned in Japanese culture. They discovered that if they took the broken pieces and joined them back together using lacquer mixed with gold, that the vessel that emerged had even greater glory. Look at what this looks like. Yeah, right? It's called kintsugi. literally means golden repair, golden joinery, golden repair. Broken pieces, mended. Is this not a picture of the gospel right here? It's a picture of the gospel. God didn't create us just to get broken, but we did turn away and sin broke the world. We're born into this brokenness. And when, you know, harm is done to us, and we do harm to others, and deep down we all know it. You don't have to prove that this world is messed up. You can see it. And you can see it in yourself. Your broken pieces might not be the same as mine, but we all have them. And it's part of the history of this world. So what is God going to do with all of this? One word, redemption. Redemption. He's so good and so powerful that he can take what was broken and make it even more glorious. Hallelujah. Oh, devil, you think you got that? Well, watch this. Yeah. Watch this. The cross was an instrument of torture. This was just an execution instrument. Thousands of people were killed on crosses. It was a slow, agonizing death. You know the word excruciating comes from the word for cross, because that's how the Romans would kill the worst rebels and people that they wanted to say, don't ever do this or this is going to happen. Thousands of people died in this thing. Like, can you imagine taking an electric chair and hanging around your neck as a symbol? Who would do that? But the cross, because of the resurrection, has become something totally different, hasn't it? It's become a symbol of breathtaking hope. How did that happen unless he actually rose from the dead? You don't just make that up. That's impossible. But because he rose from the dead, everything changed. And if he can do it with that, don't you think he can do it with your life?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
This world is full of brokenness. Stuff that just makes you want to look away. I mean, bad stuff happens. People do evil things. We're broken pieces. But God is making it a tapestry of redemption. And he's getting it ready for one day soon when he's going to come back and make everything new. Okay? That pot there, that kintsugi there, that's what God's doing with all creation. Our life is broken pieces. It's broken pieces. But in his hands, he can make it even more wonderful. Talk to somebody who knows God's grace like this, and they'll tell you God is in the business of redemption. God is in the business of redemption. And somehow he has a way of taking what was lost and broken and making it even more wonderful. It's a you catastrophe. I've talked about this at previous churches, and one time I said, I want to get a t-shirt that says, I'm a you catastrophe. And then a couple of days later, I had somebody gave me a t-shirt that says, I'm a you catastrophe. And nobody knows what it means, but I know. And now you know. Now you know what it means. I like that t-shirt. A you catastrophe. In the hands of Jesus, the very thing that you think defines you as broken can become the thing which shows that you are redeemed. In the hands of Jesus, the shame or the wound that makes you feel condemned can become the thing that testifies to his mercy. It all depends on whether you keep your life in the darkness before the dawn or you bring it into the light of the resurrection. Apostle Paul described what this looks like, what happens when we do this. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The resurrection of the King means that we can know with certainty every broken thing can be restored. Y'all, that's beautiful. Every broken thing can be restored. We just have to put it in his hands. So what are your broken pieces? You know, I've been through times in my life where I just feel it in me. I don't even know what it is. Lord, I don't know what it is. I know something's broken in me. I don't even know what it is. What are your broken pieces? Depression? A broken marriage? A memory that you just bury? Addiction? Shame? Purposelessness? Pressure to be perfect? Sometimes we let that drive us away from God. But what if today we brought it to Him? What if today we brought the broken pieces to Him? So you can have forgiveness instead of bitterness. So you can have wholeness instead of woundedness. You can have peace instead of fear. You can have purpose instead of emptiness. You can live for love instead of living for yourself. You can have joy instead of despair. You can have life instead of death. You can have heaven instead of hell. You bring the broken pieces and put them in His hands. It's what He does. That's why we call Him Jesus, Savior, Healer, risen and reigning. I look at my life, you know, and I see these broken pieces He's mending back together. I think, man, that could have been my story. That could have been my legacy. That could have been my impact on others, on my family. This could have been my story. But thanks be to God, in the hands of Jesus, He's making me new. Yes. I'm not just talking up here, y'all. This is my story. I know it's your story.
Amen.
Right? So let Him do it. Let Him keep doing it from glory to glory. Let Him keep doing it. And then follow His mission to help bring others along. Because there's more broken pieces out there. Because He lives, I'm a new creation. You can be too. Today, my biggest prayer for you is that you would experience the power of His resurrection in your life. Whether you've heard that message like 100 times or this is the first time you're really listening, bring your life to Jesus. Put it in His hands. Watch Him make you a new creation because He lives. Because He lives. And you know, it's amazing how his redemption unfolds in our lives because, you know, sometimes it's for somebody who's like hearing the first time and they just take that step and it's like everything changes. But sometimes He has a process of unfolding that journey for us. And it's like you can be walking with Jesus all your life, you know, doing your best, doing your thing, trying to be faithful and knowing His grace, but there's something. And all of a sudden He shows you, oh, there's some broken pieces rattling around. There's some shrapnel in there still. I don't even realize where all this was coming, and all of a sudden He shows you. Excuse me. He shows you. And then you know what you get to do? You get to just invite Jesus in and say, Lord Jesus, I just found another broken part of me. I didn't realize it was causing all those problems for my family or my marriage or my heart or my mind. Like, I didn't know, but I just found out there's something broken in there I've been holding on to. You get to do, you invite Jesus in. You say, Lord, would You heal this place? Would You redeem this? Would You sanctify this? And it just keeps getting more beautiful. More freedom. It's available. He's still doing it for me. I know He's doing it for you. Let's pray. We have some time to pray and continue to worship in this song. And so this is just time to respond. Whatever he's doing for you today, respond. Lord God, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you. Thank you that you don't leave us where we were. Thank you that you redeem. You forgive, you heal, you restore, you give hope. God, I pray that every person gathered here at a distance online, here in person, in the way that you know that they need, would encounter the resurrection power of Jesus today. That you would renew their hope in the possibility of broken things being restored. Whatever that needs to look like in your hands, Lord, whatever story you're telling, you'd renew their hope that broken things can be restored, even if the broken thing is me. That you're still working, that because you walked out of that grave and you're risen and reigning and your spirit is here, we have access to healing. We have access to life that overcomes death. We have access to mercy that overcomes judgment because of what you did, Lord. And I pray that nobody would leave here today not tasting that. Do what you do, Lord, and move through this room. Bless your children. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's people say, amen. Let's rise and worship him.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.